Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast broadcast from the state capitol in Jefferson City, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Sheet Metal Workers Local 36. Now from the state capitol, the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast. I want to thank all of our friends at our Kansas City Station, obviously Kim Wex and KimWex.com. I want to thank our sponsors, St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Missouri Farm Bureau. We're here broadcasting live from the House Minority Leader's Office, Jay Kummel. Representative, thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for being here.
I also have Representative Keith Frederick, a doctor from Rolla. Good to have you, sir.
Morning.
Representative Glenn Koltmeyer from the Odessa area. Glad to have you on.
Greetings from Lafayette County.
Nice. Lafayette County. Let's jump right in. We're here in the Minority Leader's Office, an issue that I know you know very well, paycheck protection. Looks like that is the next... The next issue would be to override the governor's veto, right?
I think that's the case, yes.
Does it happen?
Does it happen in both chambers? Mm-hmm. I doubt that. I doubt that very highly. Can we get there in the House? It's, you know, I think we've seen a lot of arm twists in the last week or so, a lot of promises made, a lot of late-night meetings in the Speaker's office to try and get there. I think it's possible that they get there in the House. I don't think they get there in the Senate.
Glenn, do you believe it? Do you believe you get there in the House?
We might be close. It may be I think we're down to counting ones and twos. You know, I don't think we're going to have any votes to spare.
You had a little margin the first time.
Yes.
That seems to have, you didn't grow it, it's eroded a little, right?
It has eroded.
I noticed the pro tem came over to a place he's familiar with, the speaker's dais, yesterday, and he and the speaker had as public a conversation as you can have, set up on the dais. It looks like the Senate's treading water till you send that over. I think they're waiting on those two, right?
That is very possible, yes.
Dr. Frederick, does this pass?
I think so.
This is it's not a broad-ranging paycheck protection deal. If I'm mistaken, Representative Plummel, isn't it limited to public employees but not police and fire?
That's right. It's a jobs bill for attorneys is what it is. It's going to go straight to court if it passes. It will be promptly thrown out by the Supreme Court when it gets there. It's a special law that carves out only certain employees and not others, and I think everybody on both sides of the aisle recognizes that fact. So that leads to the question of why are we doing it? And I think quite clearly the answer is, you know, David Humphreys has spent a lot of money in the Republican Party, and he expects something for his money.
Dr. Frederick, it is curious that it's, instead of a paycheck protection for everyone, it is very, very narrow, right?
Yes. In fact, initially I was opposed to it because it carved out. It wasn't that I was opposed to the concept of having the workers see where the money's going and checking off every year. It was because it carved out just this segment. But I became convinced that taking half a loaf is better than nothing.
Representative, the bill doesn't pass if they include firefighters, right? I mean, there's no way to override it.
No, I don't see if we put the firefighters back in, I don't see it passing.
So I would say, though, if you stop... I guess when you saw the election returns after the last election, all over the country, Democrats were wiped out in every state house, in any kind of, even close to swing states, even Democrat states lost members. If you could have said the next 2 years was supermajorities plus in both chambers, the only effect on labor would be these one specific members would have a paycheck protection bill passed. That'd been a pretty good deal, right?
I don't know. I think that the fact that none of this, that this hasn't passed despite supermajorities, is a testament to some of the Republican members of the legislature knowing their districts and being able to vote their districts.
But I mean, when you read those returns, if you would have been sitting here in mid-April, you would have said, I can't believe that's, let's assume this passes and goes to the court, whatever happens there.
Sure.
If this is the only thing that passes, I mean, you got to hand it to labor and some Republicans in some swing districts. That's not a very bad ramification from that election result.
I guess that's the case. I guess I would disagree in the fact that I think that some of these Republicans in these districts are only there because they voted the right way on labor issues. And if they start to erode even on small things, you know, this is the foot in the door. If we do this, the next question is going to be, well, what about this? Well, how about just this? And at what point do we stop?
Dr. Frederick, when you went to that first caucus meeting after the elections and saw 117 people in that room, you had to assume you were going to do more on these issues, right?
Yeah, I thought in general we would be successful with our overall program.
And it seems to me interesting that even with those majorities, there may not be Republican. There's a Republican majority on labor issues, maybe not a supermajority, right?
I think that's true.
It looked to me like I was in Springfield last week. There were some Republican donors that had asked me my thoughts on a few things. And it looks to me like the way people pass, let's say, right to work, is probably, you have a better chance anyway, instead of trying to win a governor's race, to turn a